Greetings and welcome to Flanagan's Ecologic. I am your host, Ted Flanagan, and today we're joined by Rod Matthews. He's the co-founder and CEO of Brevin Energy out of Vista, California, that's northern San Diego County, and their commercial microgrid suppliers. Hey, Rod, welcome to the podcast. Great to see you.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate you having me today.
How are you today, anyway?
I'm good. You know, we're finally starting to get a little bit of sunshine down here in San Diego. I thought we were living in Seattle, but even today is a little bit gloomy, but I'll take it.
Hard to say, hard to hear a Southern California complaining about getting too much rain, but
I know.
I've heard that recently. We've had a lot. Well, tell me, you're the co-founder, the CEO of Brevin Energy, which I want to talk about quite a bit, but I'd like to start out with, like, what are you working on today? What's hot? What's happening?
Well, right now we are looking into some, San Diego is the home of small businesses. We don't have a lot of big, you know, Fortune 500 companies down here. So we have a lot of small companies, which means we have a lot of like multi-tenant business parks that have, you know, buildings with, you know, multiple tenants in them. And we've been dealing with an issue with our local utility company here, which is San Diego Gas and Electric, where they have something called Rule 19. Where, you know, our plan is to come into one of these buildings and provide a microgrid or, you know, a power generation system for renewable energy for the whole building. But the problem is they have multiple meters on the buildings right now for each tenant. But we have one owner of the building who we'd like to provide services for the entire building, which would mean they would have to install a master meter. But with San Diego Gas and Electric, with their Rule 19 states that you can't sub-meter commercial clients. You can do it with residential clients, but not with commercial clients. So it can't be a separate charge to their bill. So right now we've been working with the property owners to redo the leases with these clients that will make the electricity payments a part of their lease payments. So that way they qualify for the Rule 19, and we can put in a master meter with a microgrid behind the master meter to serve the whole building. So this really opens up a lot here in San Diego. We're very excited about the progress that we've made on that. So it's been a year in the making. You know, it took dealing with a few Congress people and a few other politicians and, you know, greasing the wheels, but we finally came to an understanding with SDG&E, and we got approval to start these type of projects. So I'm very excited about that.
It's basically a workaround, right? You're not.
It
you're
is.
Not, you're not taking all these sub-metered parcels and trying to put them into one, which would be ideal for a microgrid or a master solar system. But instead, you're taking each one of them and you're amending their leases, right?
Right. To the point where we can put in a master meter. The master meter would qualify. So we'd put the microgrid behind the master meter and all the submeters sit behind the master meter.
I see. Right?
So everybody
willing to do that.
That is correct. Yeah, because it's going to reduce their bill and it's going to give resiliency to the entire office building, which makes it a much more attractive place to work.
Right, right. And so a lot of your time is spent explaining things to people.
All the time. I find that, you know, in this business, particularly with the microgrids, that's what we do primarily. Because, you know, most of the time, I would say 85% of the time when I say microgrid, people look at me with a little glazed look on their face, like, what are you talking about? Right. So we have to, one, explain what a microgrid is, and then really explain to them how they can benefit from them. And then once you put those two pieces together, they are all in, because, you know,
well,
primarily.
Let me ask you the question I was going to ask you last, which was, you know, when I think of a microgrid, well, let me back up. When I think of a home or a multifamily complex with solar, yeah, there's panels up on the roof and we're net metering so that when there's nobody home, their power is going into the grid, we're getting credit. And then in the evening, we're drawing back from the grid. Now, when I think of a microgrid, I'm thinking that you're adding batteries and controls so that that whole system can island if the master grid goes down.
That's just one aspect of it. But okay. Here in San Diego and in other investor-owned utilities here in the state, we have what's called time of use. So between 4 o'clock p.m. and 9 o'clock PM, you could be paying in excess of 55 cents per kilowatt hour, because that's peak. You know, they have what's called peak times, off peak times, and super off peak times. So the peak times are between 4 o'clock and 9 o'clock PM when everybody's home, everybody's doing laundry, everybody's, you know, all the kids are home with all the TVs are on. Yeah. You're paying the most for that. So what we do is we deploy what's called lithium phosphate batteries, and we can assume that load every day because we can cycle those batteries up every day to assume the load. So you don't have to be pulling power from the grid when it's at its most expensive. Right. It's called peak saving.
So your microgrids and the use of these batteries, you got a real economic play going on, right?
Absolutely.
Charge at the lowest cost or when the sun is shining, discharge at those super peak periods.
Absolutely. Every day.
And then are they also wired for resilience? I mean,
they're wired for resilience by nature because you're generating your own power, right? So you even know you're not pulling from the grid. So you don't even know most of the time when the grid is even down.
Well, now
you're generating your own power.
Now let me ask you about critical loads, because okay, now let's just say we've got a facility, a multifamily mm-hmm. complex, gets solar mm-hmm. up on the roof. You got batteries. You're charging up your batteries. Now let's just say the grid goes down. How long will those batteries operate, or are they tied to specific circuits, specific critical loads?
Again, we say if you've seen one microgrid, you've seen one microgrid, right? Because that's part of the process, right? What are your critical loads? How much resilience would you require? I mean, if you're a bakery, you know, maybe you have one or two things that need to run for 45 minutes or an hour. But if you are a hospital, it's totally different mission criticality. So each system or each microgrid is designed to meet that specific customer's need.
Right.
Now, so that's when we go to the interview process.
One of your clients or one of the sectors you work in is multifamily.
That is correct.
I would argue is the most difficult one to work in.
Well, this not multifamily, multi-business tenant. We're looking into some multifamily projects right now, but right now we don't have any of those under contract.
Okay.
But we're looking at some the business offices, which are a little bit easier to predict.
Right, right. Interesting. So give me a case study of a Brevian project that you're proud of.
We have one of our core people that we target are nonprofits, and particularly churches that operate schools. So we just our latest project we had is a Lutheran church that operated a school. They were paying probably right at $15,000 per month on their energy bills. Right now, with their PPA, which is a power purchase agreement they'll sign over 20 years with a predictable escalator, we'll be bringing their bills down to around $9,000 per month.
That's got to be rewarding, right? To be able to help out like that.
Very much so. And we love these, the nonprofits, because we say every dollar we save can go right back into your programs and your purposes and your causes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what
makes a lot of sense.
What about you? How did you, let's go back in your life a little bit. I was trying to figure out where you were born and raised. And then I found the name of your high school on LinkedIn. And that targeted Shreveport, Louisiana. Is that right?
Shreveport, Louisiana. Absolutely.
All right. and then what did you do as a kid? Were you like me? Were you kicking around playing sports? What was your thing?
I played sports. And to believe it or not, I was a champion fencer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, believe
That's
it or not.
I was
nationally ranked in high school as a fencer.
No kidding.
And particularly, you know, with saber was my primary weapon.
So, do you still have a saber in your
I just have a kitchen knife. That's about it.
All right. So then you go off to, I think, Carbondale, Illinois, for Southern Illinois University, right? For college.
Yes. Well, actually, I went to the Navy, the University of the United States Navy. And I actually got my degree while on active duty in the Navy.
And what would you give us a little bit about your naval experience? What was it?
I was an electronics technician in the Navy. It took me about 2 years of schooling. You know, that's really what I wanted to do. Was I found a job that had the most amount of school to prolong me going on the ship for the longest time before I could go. So I had about 2 years of school before I ever showed up on the ship, and showed up on the USS Abraham Lincoln, which is actually stationed here in San Diego now. But at the time, it was being built. So we was called pre-commissioned the ship in Virginia. So after being on commission and taking a maiden voyage, bringing the ship around from where it was being built in Norfolk to change home ports to Alameda, California, which where it was stationed at. Then we did two, what's called Western Pacific cruises, got a chance to go to, some very awesome places around the world, Hong Kong, Brazil, Chile, Dubai, before Dubai became what it is right now. Got a chance to experience a lot of that. Just getting my whole background in, electronics and my love of all things tech, I think started with my time in the military.
Yeah, and it sounds like, and then I mean, we can kind of fast forward, because you had your time in Southern Illinois, studying workforce development, and then you got some certificates from University of Queensland and MIT. Fascinating,
yes.
Right? But then you went right into, I think, the IT world, right?
I did. First, I worked in partnership with another guy. We started what's called Next Solutions. Where we did services for small and medium-sized companies. A lot of the small businesses, they didn't have the money to hire a real true IT staff. And so we brought those, Fortune 500 skills and transferred those down to the small SMB level. And it worked pretty well for us for a time. We had a lot of our clients at the time where that was in 06, 07. A lot of our clients were in the mortgage space because it grew so fast. So we had a lot of mortgage companies that we had under contract that we did managed services for. And then once the bubble burst in 08 for the mortgage crisis, a lot of them just went out of business. So as they went out of business, so did we.
But it sounds like in the IT world, you can shift.
Absolutely. Which during that time, that's when really the cloud became, more prevalent. So I kind of shifted my focus into providing like cloud services, virtualization and those kind of things. Ironically enough, in doing that, that kind of led me to supporting some data centers and really trying to do really doing some consulting with some data centers, which helping them kind of get a better manageability of their energy efficiency, which kind of led me to being introduced to microgrids. And I was so excited about that. And I saw such a great need for that until, I really started going in that direction. I have a partner of mine who had 30 plus years as a nuclear operator with the San Onofre power plant. He had a lot of background in public policy. So we just formed a company and brought in some other partners from other solar experience and battery experience. We built the company and we saw a need, and we've been out here trying to facilitate that ever since.
Well, congratulations, a great transition. And when you were building the company, did you have this commercial sector focus in mind? Or
yes, I've never been a person in my two iterations of other companies that I've worked with or helped start. We've always been B2B. I've never been a person who liked consumer services. So the B2B space has always been something that I've been drawn to instead of consumers.
A friend comes up to you that in your neighborhood and says, "Hey, can you help me put a solar system on my house?"
I can recommend stuff for them. I tell them the guys. I mean, because there is no shortage of companies that are trying to do that here on the consumer side, which is why I don't want to be in that. It's really crowded here on the consumer side. One, there's a mandate here in California as of 2020 that every new house that gets built has a net zero consumption. So they're going to put solar on everybody's roof. So solar in by itself has been commoditized, even with the NEM 3.0 or the net metering 3.0 rules. They're really disincentivizing solar almost.
Let me get to that NEM.
Okay, no problem. Sorry, I didn't cut you off there.
No, it's fine. That's fine. We're having a great conversation. But I wanted to get clear on what Brevian offers. Right? Do you actually have trucks you actually install, or you actually, or what's the scope of your service? Because we started off by you talking about, you know, working with these, you know, these projects, these, you know, trying to get, you know, individual right. metered, you know, released and to sort of master metered to sort of set up for microgrids. That's a whole development process.
And absolutely.
Communication exercise, like we talked about. Do you actually roll trucks as well?
Yes, we do. We are a developer of these projects. We actually do the installation. You know, we do the site evaluation. We analyze your need for power. You know, we perform that analysis over a 1 year period to understand what we need to build out for you. And you know, we're called what's called a EPC. We do the engineering, of the solution. We do the procurement of all the assets that need to go into the solution, and we do the construction. We actually build it. So we do all of that.
And would you be considered, I don't know, the term is really sort of irrelevant, but mid-market then in terms of solar system size? You're probably less than 500 kW installs, but...
That's really, I've been our sweet spot, has been around that between 300 and 600 kilowatts, the things that we've installed. But we are now, because of the CCAs here in San Diego, we have... San Diego Community Power and the Clean Energy Alliance in the North San Diego County area. Right now, they're actively seeking power purchase agreements, you know, megawatt plus 10 megawatts, 20 megawatts. So we're looking at bidding on some of those projects right now.
And those would just be utility scale. They wouldn't be
utility scale. Wouldn't correct.
Be net metered. Well, then in this market that you talked about, the 300 to 600, you're able to provide PPA financing. You have PPA providers that are willing to finance that size project.
Absolutely. And it's great for, particularly for the nonprofits, because, you know, they don't have the tax liabilities, number one, so they can't really take the tax breaks, but these tax credits are transferable, which has really, you know, poured fuel on these to get these projects done and completed with the Inflation Reduction Act.
100% of your projects now have batteries, solar plus batteries?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we would never do a solar-only project. Again, we are a microgrid solution company. We're not a solar company. Right. So solar is just an aspect, is an additional generation asset to go into the microgrid.
Yeah.
But primarily they're done with solar and battery. But again, we do hydrogen fuel cells. We can do wind turbines, whatever makes sense. Like I say, you've seen one microgrid, you've seen one microgrid, because everyone is different.
Yeah. Have you done wind turbines?
Not yet. We're looking for a wind partner, as a matter of fact. We have a partner here. Our biggest thing is the wind turbines. We're looking for something that's mid-size. You know, you have small systems and you have very, very large systems.
Right.
So we're looking for something that can give us about a 200 kilowatt output that isn't like 100 feet tall. We haven't really found that. We found some things that are close to that, but we're really actively looking for some assets that we can put. I really am a big fan of the vertical.
Vertical, absolutely.
Because those can go like in more urbanized areas, I think. Ones with the big blades, you know, they have to be in, you know, big windswept, you know, valleys or whatever. But I'm really a big proponent of the vertical axis. Wind turbines. So we're looking for some of those. We have a couple of people that we've been talking with. There's actually a company here in San Diego actually has a really nice project, a really nice product that they have. It's a mobile product, but it's 100 kilowatts, but it wouldn't really fit for what we're looking for.
And do you have enough wind regime in San Diego, or would you be going out farther out and towards the desert? I know you can go up to Victorville up here where I am. You know, go out towards Vegas, you go up to Victorville, there's wind turbines all over the place, which...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even here in East County, in East San Diego County, you see a lot of deployment because of the terrain that's out there in those areas. Hey, ironically enough, that makes them susceptible to these public safety power shutoffs in those areas. Right. And that's where a lot of the tribes are located, which that's a market we're really trying to target as well. Because just out of necessity.
Have there been public safety power shutoffs like last summer? Were there?
All the time in those out in those areas, not here, you know, in the city, but in those areas, in those tribal areas, out in those canyons, that wind picks up. That's why they have That's why they have turbines out there, wind turbines out there, because of that.
That's right. That's right. So for listeners that aren't familiar with our California lingo, utilities, the investor-owned utilities here in California, 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, got the right to turn off certain distribution circuits when there's high winds and thus high fire danger, because mm-hmm. they had been shown to be responsible for starting some of these wildfires. So now, if you live out in the country, which may be delightful, most of the time, you could have your power system shut off for like a week at a time.
Man, it's ridiculous. We've seen cases of over 5 days.
Yeah, and thus the value of what you're doing, of bringing in an independent system, is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Hey, let's hit on some more state policy, because you mentioned it, and I said let's talk about that later. But we've just been through a big, big change in California. I guess April 15th was the last day to apply, if you're putting in a solar system, to apply for net energy metering 2.0, which
right.
is about 85% of the retail value, I think mm-hmm. it's fair to say. When you're like in my home here, if I'm not here and I'm generating too much, you know, I was getting about 85% value for that, and then I draw back from the grid at 100%.
Right.
Talk about 3.0. The utilities had a huge win. Consumers are up in arms. I guess there's an environmental group with a lawsuit now against, you know, challenging the PUC for this, what was being called solar billing. But talk about, how does that affect you and your business and your clients?
I mean, for us, it just really strengthens the case of, you know, including the batteries. Right now, if you do it without a battery, it's under net 3.0. It doesn't make any sense because you used to be able to, if you weren't using the power, you can sell it back again for like 85% of, you know, what the retail value was. And so there was some value to that. But now it's almost opposite. It's almost like 15%. You know what I mean? So right now it just makes sense. Instead of trying to sell that back and get credit for it, you put that excess power into a battery and use that power during those peak times. So you don't have to draw from the grid at all or very minimally. So that can significantly reduce your bills.
So you're not worried about it?
Not at all. Yeah, it strengthens what we already say to do anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Now, even on the residential side, primarily, and those are really affecting those residential clients even more so than the commercial clients. But now, even on the residential side, when net 3.0 takes effect in full, if you don't include the battery, then you know you're not doing yourself any real service by going solar.
That's really interesting to hear a solar contractor who's just not concerned about it, because your business model addresses that. And
absolutely.
As crazy it is, I mean, I'm sure you've seen the avoided cost calculator, but what's happened now here in California is that when you are exporting to the grid, in my house, I'm here, I'm exporting to the grid when nobody's home, I used to get 85% of the retail value. Now, every single hour of the year is mapped out with a different price.
Mm-hmm.
And hours of the year is almost zero. And then, oddly, there's a couple of hours in September that are like $2 a kilowatt hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Every battery in California is going to be discharged at exactly that moment. We'll probably have an oversupply at that moment.
Yes. See, those are those times here in September. That's our Indian summer. That's when we really get, you know, our heat wave in this area. That's why they're incentivizing like that.
Yeah. What's the most challenging thing that you're dealing with as a solar microgrid entrepreneur?
Educating, particularly from the microgrid perspective, is really educating the customer on really the benefits they get from it. Because again, most of the time you say microgrid and people get a glazed over look on their face, like, what is that?
Right.
So then really having to explain what a microgrid is to them and really kind of explain how they can benefit from it. And once they hear that, and really all it takes is for us to be able to analyze their usage over a 1 year period, we come back and say, hey, we can guarantee you to pay at least a third less than what you're paying right now over the next 20 years, where you'll have a predictable escalator, then it's really a no-brainer at that point.
And let's say that I'm your customer, or I'm the managing a building with multiple commercial tenants in it, and I've got the solar and I've got the batteries, and the batteries are now programmed so that they're going to charge during when I've got lots of sunshine, or charging, mm-hmm. and then they're going to discharge during that peak period, as mm-hmm. we talk about. Now, let's just say that the utility 5 years from now, the utility changes its hours. Its peak hour, its peak period is no longer 4 to 9, or PG&E, I guess, is 5 to 10. What if San Diego Gas and Electric changes to 5 to 10? Do you come back in there and reprogram that battery, or how does that
We
work?
can do all that remotely.
Okay.
Yeah, so we don't even have to come on site to do that, because all of these systems are connected to the internet. They're always monitored, and updates can be sent to them.
So you
So
have
it's
a
not like,
you your contracts would have you'd have a performance guarantee, I would assume, on the solar side, right?
so to them, to the end user, all they care about is when they flick the switch, the light comes on. Or when they open their refrigerator, they see the little light inside their refrigerator. They don't really care the process it takes for that to happen. So right now, all they do is they flick the switch, the light comes on, and they pay a bill to SDG&E or whatever investor-owned utility. So same experience.
Right, it's managed, it's completely managed by someone
Absolutely.
else.
Absolutely.
Again, when that rate change happens, do you have a vested interest in making sure that they'll be kept up to date as things change over time?
Absolutely. We definitely we'll make them aware of policy changes. But if we've designed the system right, it would have no really bearing on them because they'll be generating all their own power anyway. So we don't really care about what the utility is doing. If we've designed the system right, there are only a few times during the year where we'd actually have to pull from the grid. Most of those times are like late December, early January, when we have
Winter.
the fewest amount of light hours. Other than that, they never even see the grid.
Sounds like you're a man on a mission. You've got a clear idea of B2B business transactions that you want to pursue. You're deep in this tough market segment. You must be, pretty lonely in that market segment, which is a great thing if you can figure it out, right? Tell
No,
me.
I feel it. I mean, that's why we've kind of honed in on what we've done. We've branded ourselves as microgrid solution providers. We're not solar guys. Again, that market is way too crowded, but you don't hear a lot of people talking about microgrids in particular. And I think that's to our benefit.
I'm sure it is. Tell me about you. How do you keep balance in your life? Just a couple softball questions here before I let you go. You look like you're healthy, you're smiling. What's going on?
I'm a huge sports fan. I'd say that I love sports. I'm a huge LeBron James fan, not necessarily the Lakers, but LeBron James. I have, believe it or not, 8 grandkids, who I love and admire. I have a wife of 28 years. I'm actively involved in the community, actively involved in my church. So I have a lot of things to keep me balanced. I have 4 daughters. Which can be very humbling. So I don't have to ever worry about I don't have to ever worry about my getting a big head or being cocky, because I'm constantly reminded that I'm just that guy who pays the bills.
I love it. Hey, it's been great talking to you.
It's been wonderful too, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All the best. Thanks for being on the show.
Take care.
That's it. Thanks for listening to Flanagan's EcoLogic. We'll see you next time.